Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by Aftersight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. This is week 3 of the June 2024 Model Railroader magazine. Today we will be reading the following articles: News and Reviews, Railway Post Office, Ask Model Railroader, and 5 Ways to Clean Track. News and Reviews, conducted by Cody Grivno and Bryson Sleppy. Aurora Miniatures HO Scale Gondola. The Aurora Miniatures HO Scale National Steel Car 3,650 cubic foot capacity gondola is the latest North American freight car in the manufacturer's product lineup. The newly tooled car, available for the first time as a mass-produced model, was designed using a variety of prototype resources. The sample we received is decorated as GNTX 295512, part of TTX's 295500 through 296099 series, built by National Steel Car in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, between August and December 2012. Cars from this group are used to handle scrap metal, railway track material, and a variety of finished metal products, including bars, billets, blooms, pipe, plate, rods, and tubing. The gondolas in this series don't have lading anchors on the top cord tube. The car is part of TTX Company's NSG 21 class. N is for the builder, National Steel Car. S indicates service, steel or scrap loading. G stands for gondola. 21 is the design number. Parentheses 66-foot GNTX gondola with 6-foot high sides. Close parentheses. The Aurora Miniatures gondola features an injection-molded plastic body. A few details, like the route card holders and automatic car identification tags, are molded. However, the majority of the parts are separately applied, such as the wire grab irons and handrails, reinforcement plates at the bottom of the triangle-shaped exterior posts, and see-through etched metal crossover platforms. The handle end of the plastic uncoupling lever is attached to a bracket secured to the bottom of the car. The opposite end fits in a notch in the draft gearbox cover. The gondola has 100-ton Barber S2 HD trucks molded in a grimy black plastic with raised foundry data and brake beams. Features like the reporting mark and road number on the truck sides and rotating blue Brenco Class K bearing caps further reinforce the premium quality of the model. A steel weight, painted to match the body color, accounts for a good chunk of the model's 4.5 ounces. The smooth interior is a blank canvas for adding some rust weathering with paints and washes. There's also plenty of room to add a load. Our review sample is neatly painted flat black. The lettering placement matches prototype images that I found online. All but the tiniest stencils are legible under magnification. Following the prototype's lead, the yellow FRA 224 stripes closest to the grab irons are 8 by 18 inches, while the intermediate stripes are 4 by 18 inches. The National Steel Car Builder's decals between the first and second grab irons are nice touches. The model is equipped with plastic Aurora Janney scale couplers that are 0.03 of an inch low on both ends. For those who use between the rails magnetic uncoupling, note that the couplers don't have trip pins. A painted plastic train line hose with the glad hand and adapter picked in silver is attached to the side of the draft gear box. The blackened machined metal 36-inch code wheel sets are correctly gauged. At 4.5 ounces, the gondola is 1.1 ounces too light per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. I tested the car on our Milwaukee, Racine, and Troy, and Wisconsin and Southern layouts. The gondola ran without incident while being moved around the interchange yard at Jones Island on the MRNT and in a freight train on the WSOR mainline. For the most part, the Aurora Janney couplers worked well with the other couplers. There were a few times I had to coax the plastic scale couplers to work with standard couplers. The gondola's dimensions match or are within scale of data published in the April 2023 edition of the Official Railway Equipment Register, parentheses, S&P Global, 2023, close parentheses. I was able to get the car to navigate the 18-inch radius curves on our beer line layout, but the overhang wasn't very realistic. At 9.25 inches long, the gondola will look and operate much better on 22-inch or greater curves. Aurora Miniatures is the first company out the gate with an HO scale model of the NSC-3650 gondola, and the manufacturer has set the bar pretty high. The long gondola will certainly stand out in a train, and if your layout is near eye level, the underbody details will be appreciated by operators and visitors. Since these are pool cars, the gondolas can be found throughout the North American rail system. If you model any time from August 2012 to the present, you'll definitely want to take a look at this contemporary freight car. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and features. Price, $59.99. Manufacturer, Aurora Miniatures North America Incorporated, 1122 Brimley Road, Scarborough, Ontario, M1P3G3, Canada. Reachable at na.auroraminiatures.com. Era, August 2012 to present. Road names, TTX/Railgon, parentheses 20 road numbers, close parentheses. Also available painted black with data only. Features, 36-inch metal wheel sets and gauge. Aurora Janney plastic scale couplers, 0.003 of an inch low on both ends. Weight, 4.5 ounces, parentheses 1.1 ounces too light per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1, close parentheses. Railway Post Office, conducted by Stephen Ott. Diversifying a freight fleet. I read with interest Stephen Ott's response to William Schmidt's question regarding creating a diversified freight car fleet, parentheses, Ask Model Railroader, March, close parentheses. The industries on my HO scale CP Rail Alderwood switching district were chosen with the idea of using a variety of freight cars. I thought my ideas might be of some use to your readers. My layout is a 10 by 18 foot donut. An auto assembly plant occupies the southeast corner. Inbound traffic includes steel coil cars, gondolas, box cars of parts and machinery, and cylindrical hoppers of plastic pellets. Outbound loads include auto racks, tanks of used solvents, parts box cars, and gondolas loaded with scrap. Next to the auto plant is a grocery wholesaler that receives and ships food and supermarket equipment using reefers and box cars. Across from the grocery wholesaler is a plastics manufacturer. While it does not ship via rail, it does receive plastic pellets and cylindrical hoppers. This manufacturer shares a siding with a bulk transfer facility where traffic consists of chemical tank cars. We then come to a tool and machinery plant that receives coil steel cars, gondolas, and box cars. Flats and gondolas ship machinery, and scrap is shipped out in gondolas. A wood products firm receives gondolas, boxcars, and bulkhead flats. Its goods ship in gondolas and boxcars. There are two team tracks, one with a rail crane. There is also a two-track intermodal area that handles truck trailers and containers. Thank you for the opportunity to share my ideas. Signed, John Anderson, Mississauga, Ontario. That sign looks familiar. The February issue offered an enjoyable change of pace with several features on O-scale layouts. One image from Mike O'Connell's layout at the bottom of page 43 piqued my interest. The sign on the Purina Chow's Valley Park elevator appears to have been taken from a local landmark. The Valley Park elevator and hardware store in the St. Louis suburb of Valley Park, Missouri. According to the City of Valley Park website, the Valley Park elevator dates to 1874 and is the only remaining grain elevator in St. Louis County. It still operates today. Signed, Dave Lang, Kirkwood, Missouri. Love those small layouts. As an avid reader, parentheses, cover to cover every month, close parentheses, of Model Railroader, who is working on a small freelanced HO scale layout, I was pleased to read the article on Andrew Dodge's 6x8-foot layout. This was a special treat, especially after reading the previous article on Tom Thompson's giant 50x50-foot layout. I read the big layout articles with great interest, and I admire the work and creativity that goes into them, but I find it hard to relate to them. My railroad is a U-shaped 6x8-foot layout with a mainline run of about 25 feet. Small by any standard. But I enjoy creating scenery, building structures, and weathering. And every now and then, I just like running trains. Thank you, and keep up the good work you do on a great magazine. Signed, Bill Dillon, Fincastle, Virginia. Hall of Fame stirs memories. I just finished reading the March issue of Model Railroader cover to cover, one of the best issues I have enjoyed. Most of all, I am enjoying the nominee for the Model Railroader Hall of Fame. I purchased my first copy of Model Railroader in October 1965, and I have nearly every issue since. I enjoy going back to those issues and rereading the articles by your nominees, and I'm always astounded at the quality of modeling 60 years ago. Looking at the staff back then and your staff now, you have an excellent crew leading the magazine today. Signed, Bill McKee, Rochester, New York. Scanning April's Fooler. Just received the April issue of Model Railroader. I didn't realize the American Concrete Institute, or ACI, was interested in model railroading. I tried downloading the ACI scan app without success. Guess we will just have to wait till they get the bugs out by next April. Signed, Dennis Novicki, Naperville, Illinois. Now on to Ask Model Railroader by Stephen Ott. Make a timetable for your model railroad. Question: do you know of any software for producing a timetable for a model railroad? I would like to create a timetable that uses the same fonts and formats as prototype documents once used by the Milwaukee Road and Chicago and Northwestern. Signed, Coley Koval, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. A Java Model Railroad Interface, or JMRI, the free package of open-source model railroad utilities, has a module, parentheses jmri.org/help/en/html/tools/timetable.shtml, close parentheses, that lets you plan a timetable for your model railroad. It lets you input your stations, the capacity of their sidings, and the distances between them, your trains and their characteristics, like class and average speed, and information about the schedule document. The software can output a speed line graph that will let you visually plan meets. Once you're satisfied, you can output the timetable in comma-separated value, or CSV, format that can be imported into a spreadsheet program. While this is a great tool to plan a timetable, parentheses, and the price can't be beat, close parentheses, the output won't look all that much like a vintage railroad document. However, if you import it into a spreadsheet software like Microsoft Excel, the rows and columns can be arranged and resized as desired. Different kinds of borders can be applied to individual cells or groups of cells, and you can also change fonts to make it look more realistic. The exported CSV file can also be imported into Microsoft Word or another word processing program that supports tables. While Word might not be as easy as Excel at grouping and arranging a timetable's columns and rows, it's better suited for adding text, headlines, and font effects. I went into detail on what goes into a railroad employee timetable and how to use one in my Ask Model Railroader column of September 2018. Question: I recently added a Faller carousel to my HO scale model railroad. It is lighted and motorized. Now I would like to add a sound module to the layout to play carousel sounds. Any suggestions where I might find one? Signed, Larry Giardelli. Answer: I couldn't find a sound module pre-recorded with carousel sounds, so you'll have to customize one for yourself. Luckily, it doesn't look like it would be too difficult. What you'll need are a programmable sound module that will play MP3 files and an MP3 file of the sounds you want. Searching for, quote, MP3 sound module, end quote, on Amazon.com turned up a large number of suitable players, all priced under $20. You're looking for one with an attached speaker, parentheses, the larger the better, close parentheses, and a USB cord for programming. You also want one with a separate box for AA or AAA batteries rather than button batteries on the circuit board. You don't want to have to change the batteries all the time, so if you get a module with a separate battery box, you can cut the wires and splice in the leads from a wall wart DC adapter of the same voltage, parentheses 3 volts, correction 3 volts, if the box takes 2 batteries, or 4.5 volts for 3, or 6 volts for 4, close parentheses. I found that some players let you select what happens when you press the activation button. Based on your preferences, you can make the sound play once when the button is pressed, play as long as the button is held down, or play on a loop until the button is pressed again. All useful options for different applications. You might want to play the sound of birds chirping in a forest or watering in a rushing stream on continuous loop, but play your carnival sounds only when the button is pressed. Now for the sound files to put on your sound module. I found a website called Pixabay, parentheses pixabay.com/sound-effects/search/carousel, close parentheses, that has free download, correction, that has free downloadable sound effects files in MP3 format. One called, quote, Carousel Ride, end quote, is just under a minute long and includes background sounds and voices as well as classic carousel music. Quote, Carousel on English Beach, end quote, is pretty good too. Click the download button to save the sounds you want to your computer. If you want to expand your layout sound profiles later, Pixabay has many other useful sound files available, including farm ambiance, sawmills, factory sounds, train station ambiance, grade crossing warning bells, and more. Just type what you want to find in the search box on the top of the page. Once you've found and downloaded the sound you want, plug your sound module into your computer's USB port and follow the instructions that came with the module to copy the sound file into the module's memory. Then install it on your layout and enjoy. Question. I'm having some electrical problems with my N-scale locomotives. My 6x8 layout is powered by digital command control. My locomotives will roll a few inches, then stop. If I give them a push, they stutter on and off. When the locomotives are moving, the block occupancy detector's light-emitting diode, LED, is on, but when they say stop, the LED is off as if it's not sensing the locomotive at all. I have cleaned the track and the wheels. I have performed a factory reset on the decoders. I switched one power district to a different DCC system, and the problem still persists. I put an RC filter, parentheses snubber, close parentheses, on each block. The power supply for my boosters is switchable between 12 volts and 13.5 volts. I tried both. I used my RR amp meter, too, to measure track voltage and got a constant measurement on every block. All track joints are soldered. In case the problem was in my wiring, I cut the track feeders from all the existing wiring and strung a brand new power bus. But this didn't solve the problem either. To add to the mystery, I have one steam locomotive that runs mostly trouble-free, but even it stops once or twice in a full lap. My other locomotives all suffer equally. Signed, Ron Chafee. Answer. Since you've already tried all the things I would usually suggest, I'm tempted to throw up my hands and say I can't help you. But there are some clues in your letter that may suggest a solution. If current were still flowing through the locomotive circuits, but the gears were binding, the block occupancy detector LED would stay on when an engine stopped. The fact that it turns off confirms it's not a mechanical issue. This power loss to the locomotive is intermittent, but you said that the RR amp meter returns a constant voltage, so the power is reliable from the DCC base station to the rails. That isolates the problem to the locomotives. Assuming that the track and wheels are clean, the next place current could be dropping is the pickups that convey the electricity from the wheels to the DCC decoder. These can, over time, corrode, carbonize, or pick up dirt that interferes with their function. Open up your locomotives and check them. After manually removing any dust or gunk, polish the contacts with a pencil eraser or isopropyl alcohol on a microbrush. If the electrical connection from the pickups to the decoder also relies on wipers, clean those too. Heavier rust, like you see in the accompanying picture, might require work with a sanding stick. And while you're in there, clean the axle bearings and gear towers and give them a drop of plastic-compatible light oil. Question: I'm aware that India ink alcohol stains Fogg's Dull Coat and similar lacquer products. But I've not been able to find anything on the internet that discusses what happens if you spray Dull Coat onto something that has previously had an alcohol wash applied, but the alcohol is dry. I assume there is no effect, and I've read that the clouding effect can usually be corrected by spraying on additional Dull Coat, but I don't want to risk screwing up my model. What can you tell me? Signed, Thomas Heiser, San Diego, California. Answer: isopropyl alcohol stains Fogg's Dull Coat because of a chemical reaction between the alcohol and the microscopically rough surface of the lacquer. But isopropyl alcohol evaporates completely when it dries, leaving no residue. As long as your wash is completely dry, there is no alcohol remaining to attack the Dull Coat, so spray away. But there are some situations where the fact that alcohol stain Fogg's Dull Coat can be a good thing. Brushing or misting on 70% isopropyl alcohol, parentheses, or an alcohol-based stain, close parentheses, over a model that's been sprayed with Dull Coat is a good way to simulate such weathering effects as sun bleaching and chalking paint. This quote-unquote bloom effect looks particularly good on wood siding, since wood naturally turns gray as it ages. It's also effective on cement hoppers, whose lading can run down the sides, leaving whitish streaks. Model Railroader contributor Mont Schweitzer demonstrated this technique in his article, quote, "Detail and Weather War Emergency Hoppers," end quote, in our November 2021 issue. Now on to 5 ways to clean track. From off-the-shelf to homemade solutions, how to keep your rails in tip-top shape. By Cody Grivno. Photos as noted. If you want to get a lively debate started amongst model railroaders, ask them the best way to clean track. Some prefer abrasive blocks, like the Bright Boy, while others turn to any number of cleaning solvents, homemade or commercial cleaning cars, or off-the-shelf cleaning systems. Which one is best? That's a matter of personal preference. Cleaning cars. There have been a variety of wet and dry track cleaning cars produced over the years. Bachmann Industries offers an HO-scale, steam-to-diesel transition-era single-dome tank car with a weighted, pivoted, reusable pad between the trucks. The car can be used on straight track, turnouts, and curves. If you're more the do-it-yourself type, you can make your own cleaning car using a method developed by the late John Allen, builder of the well-known HO-scale Gorion-defeated model railroad. John attached a tempered hardboard pad, rough side down, to 2 nails with glue. The nails fit into holes that he drilled in the bottom of a boxcar. This allowed the pad to float in the underbody, reducing the chances it would snag on turnouts, crossings, or track irregularities. He cut the pad slightly wider than the track and beveled both ends. A-Line produces a kit with components to make a tempered hardboard cleaning pad designed to fit an HO-scale 40-foot boxcar. You can purchase the kit through the Kalmbach Hobby Store. Abrasive blocks. An abrasive cleaning block is a popular method for cleaning track. The Walther's Scenemaster Bright Boy has long been a popular choice for modelers. Similar blocks are produced by Atlas Model Railroad Company and Pico. In, quote, "Tune Up Your Layout, Part 1, Cleaning Track and Adjusting Rolling Stock," end quote, May 2007 Model Railroader, veteran modeler Paul J. Dulkos wrote, quote, "I reserve abrasive material for only occasional heavy-duty cleaning. And whether you use sandpaper or a Bright Boy, avoid those that are extra coarse. These will scratch the rails instead of polishing them. Dirt and dust tend to collect in these scratches, making it more difficult to keep the rails clean." End quote. In place of coarse textured cleaning blocks, Paul prefers an extra fine Cradex block, such as Walther's number 949-522. He also uses strips of basswood to clean tracks. The wood is abrasive enough to remove grime, but soft enough to not scratch the rails. Cleaning solvents. When I searched, quote, "track cleaner" on the Walther's website, walthers.com, I was surprised at the number of cleaning solvents on the market today. Among the offerings were Atlas Model Railroad Company track cleaning fluid, Bachmann Rail and Road track cleaner liquid, Deluxe Materials Limited Track Magic liquid track cleaner, Excel Lubricants rail conditioning fluid, LaBelle Industries No. 105 track conditioner, Robart Manufacturing Incorporated Rail Zip track cleaning fluid, and Woodland Scenics Clean Track Solution. Though all of the products have the same goal of keeping track clean, the application process and frequency may vary. Read the instructions carefully and follow all manufacturer-recommended safety precautions. In our January 2003 issue, we ran Glenn Schulley's article, Polish Those Railheads. In the article, Glenn explained how he used metal polish to clean the rails on his model railroad. Glenn turned to MAAS polishing cream for his layout, but the article also referenced Flitz metal, plastic, and fiberglass polish from Miracle Group Incorporated. The Flitz packaging notes that the anti-tarnish formula lasts up to 6 months. Glenn stated in his article, quote, "Our experience has shown that cleaning the rails with metal polish is preferable to an abrasive track cleaner, with the added benefit that the polish significantly slows the buildup of oxidation," end quote. Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at AfterSight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening.